Okay, well, welcome everyone, or two of you, for everyone. We have the pleasure of trying something a little bit new here to do a presentation for featuring technical support content. And this time we'll be focusing mostly on BrailleNote Apex, but we would also like to perhaps do some more of these in the future on other topics, and we'll talk about that in a little while. And I need to enable the ability for my colleagues to join me. Which I believe I've just done. So for today's presentation, we'll have myself. I'm Matthew Janusauskas. I'm the technical support and service manager for Humanware, and I have two colleagues that are going to join me for today's presentation. I have Greg Stilson, who is a technical support and product specialist. And let's see if Greg's able to say hello.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Very nice. So hello to Greg, and then let's also bring another colleague into the room. We've got Gabe Griffiths, who is also in our technical support team. Let's see if Gabe is able to say hello.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Wonderful. It's always nice when the technology works. So very good. And for those of you who are viewing the full archive of this presentation, you'll be able to see some content here, which is just some points that we want to talk about in today's session. And at some point, I may also show some web content from the Humanware website or something, which you'll also be able to see. And then if all goes well, I also have the intentions of posting just the audio, an MP3 version of this presentation, for people that wish to play it on maybe their stream or their BrailleNote or another device. So let's see. What we want to talk about today, as I said, is mostly BrailleNote Apex. We're pretty excited to have the product finally shipping. It's been lots of work for everyone involved. Both Gabe and Greg have been involved quite a bit in the testing, which actually that might be something interesting for the people that are listening to this this conversation. Before we get into some specific points about questions we've received in Apex that we'd like to address, is there anything either one of you would like to say, since you were both involved in the testing of the product before it released? I think the customers might be interested in knowing a bit about what's involved and any thoughts you had about that.
Just the biggest thing is that when you're dealing with a testing of such a sophisticated product like the BrailleNote, there's a lot of people out there that think it's just a note taker and things like that. And the BrailleNote's come such a long way now, to the point where it's so much more than a note taker, and the sophistication of the device is so high now that there is just a number of variables that can come up at any point to kind of throw off a version or something like that. So it's been a long process, but we're pretty happy with the outcome.
Yeah, that's a fair point. As the device's capabilities continue to increase, they become more and more complex underneath. It's always an interesting thing about the BrailleNote. We work very hard to hide as much of that complexity as possible and to make it a nice seamless device where you don't need to focus on all of the details, just on getting the tasks done. But internally for us, as the capabilities increase on the testing side, it makes it much more work for us to do, to try to cover all bases, and that's when we enlist the help of others to try to cover as much as possible. And we do our best, and with that said, and that's part of why we're here to talk today, we don't always catch everything, no company does. But we very much appreciate customers letting us know as they encounter issues that didn't come up before, and we can address them as they come up. Gabe, did you have any comments about the testing before we move on?
I think just from my side, because I spend a lot of time on a QT keyboard, which is a little bit different from, I think, what a lot of people out there do. And it was really interesting just to kind of see the progression of being able to fit in all the QT commands that had been there on previous versions of the Braille Note products. And just going through and trying to test all the various applications. And like you were saying, Matthew, the fact that there's so much, and Greg, there's so much that the Apex does now that we've been able to add into Keysoft over the years, that is really interesting and exciting to see this product grow.
And one of the biggest things that I think that a lot of people don't understand is that the largest part of our testing process was to make those people who transferred from a Braille Note Classic or Empower to a Braille Note Apex, we wanted to make that transition as simple as possible. And so a lot of people think, oh, it's another Braille Note. But and as much as it is, this is a completely different device with a completely different operating system, completely different everything. And so it's the transition, the seamless transition capability that we wanted to ensure was there. That was probably the most difficult part of the testing.
Yeah, good point. And some of those differences will come into, that's a nice segue into the items that we have here to talk about today. And let's start with the first one of those, which is we announced on the Braille Note Newswire, I guess maybe it was 2 weeks ago or so, which, by the way, for people listening to this, we're recording this in mid-January in 2010 to start off the new year. We have released the first software update for the Braille Note Apex, which is Keysoft version 9.0.0 build 534, which is just a minor update to address some of those issues that we talked about in the beginning. And before we mention one of those issues is our next bullet point that we'll talk about, but maybe before that I'd like to back up just a bit. And this is all covered in great detail on the website, so we don't need to talk too long about it, but I think it's important to note here about the installation process on the Braille Note Apex for people that have used other Braille Note products before. It is a different process. It's been streamlined considerably. And Gabe, maybe I'll have you mention just a comment about the upgrade process, about what's involved and how to do it, to let people know of what's changed.
Sure. I think what's changed is just about everything. The installation is, I think, much smoother, much more streamlined, and much easier on the Apex. The installation can be done using either an SD card, a thumb drive, or, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, right off of the flash disk of the Apex. All you have to do is download the file, put it onto your SD card or onto your installation card, and put the card into make sure the Apex is plugged in and turned on. Put the card in, and the Apex will prompt you for the upgrade. No longer having to have a certain size compact flash or SD card. And for anybody that's familiar with the Victor Stream upgrade, it's pretty similar to that. And one more thing is that you can do it on an SDHC card instead of just a regular SD card. So does that pretty much cover it, or do either of you guys have anything to add?
No, I think that about sums it up. It's unless Greg had a comment.
No, I think you got it, Gabe. It's the biggest change is the simplicity of the upgrade.
Very good. So let's move into some of these topics. Some we could just need to mention, and others we might want to talk a little bit about. I guess I'll say one of the most noticeable issues that was addressed with this update was we had an issue on some units where the index for the onboard user's guide was not functioning, and the engineers were able to figure out what had happened there. So this, by installing this update, it will, let's say, allow you to resolve that problem. It doesn't always resolve itself automatically. There's one more step that's sometimes required by the user, so to make that user index start functioning again. So Greg, did you want to comment about that?
Sure. For those of you who don't know the problem, the issue is present when you go to the options menu and press U for user guide. You get two options. Typically, you get a table of contents to search, or you get an indexed option that you can search. And when in the previous build, if you would go to the index, it would say end of index immediately, wouldn't give you any topics or anything like that. So in build 534, the typical result is that you would install build 534, and then because we still are containing some of the user guide files from the original build, at that point all you need to do is on the flash disk, there's a manuals folder that you just simply delete and press the reset button. And as soon as you press the reset button, this is one of the nice things about the BrailleNode Apex, is that as soon as you hit reset, it checks for any kind of missing files and rebuilds them from the factory defaults. And so as soon as you hit that reset button, it'll say to you installing user guide, and that's how you know that the problem's solved.
Excellent. Yeah, it was something that came up that we were happy to be able to fix pretty quickly. And we have the ability to do these types of fixes as things come up more frequently now on the new platform, which is which we're quite happy about, and I'm sure the users are as well. So as we continue to receive reports of other things, and we're sure that there will be things, as there are with any product, as customers continue to let us know about those, we should be able to address them as quickly as possible, and this is an example of that. The other things contained in the update are more minor in scope. There were some specific instances where there could be some problems with DAISY navigation and playback within the book reader. There were some missing hotkeys on the QT models that had been reported to us, and some more seldom used areas of Keysoft. So it's those types of things were what are involved in this update. And it's also important to note that if you did receive your BrailleNode Apex within the past few weeks, it's very likely that you already have the current software on your unit, so we would recommend that you do a quick version check on your unit before you go to the trouble of downloading the file, because it's there's a good possibility it's already installed on your BrailleNode Apex. Moving on to the next item that we have here. Types of resets on BrailleNode Apex. This is an area that's it's changed as well. For people that are new to the product, I think it's pretty straightforward. But for those that have used maybe a BrailleNode Classic or an MPower or a BrailleNode PK, there are some differences. There's certainly less types of resets than there were in the past that are required. Even needing to reset at all is certainly diminished on the product, which is a positive side effect of more memory in the device and the streamlined code that we have in place is a new framework. So to get into some specifics about there are basically three types of resets now on the device, and Gabe, did you want to say anything about those?
Sure, you want me to just kind of run over what they are and what they do?
Yeah, maybe just mention what's the key presses and in what circumstances one might want to try each of the three.
Sure. The first reset is just the simple reset, which is just the press and release of the reset button. And probably the time you'd be doing that is if your unit freezes up. Occasionally, I think when we're installing one of the Keysoft extensions or an upgrade, it'll prompt you to do a simple reset. So that's just the press and release of the reset button. The next reset would be the 456, or on a QWERTY keyboard, a JKL reset. And on the Apex now, you just have to hold down those three keys, press and release the reset button, and really only keep holding those keys down for a few seconds after the reset beep. We don't have to hold them down as long as we did before. And that is a clear profiles reset, so that will prompt you to reset your Braille settings, and I believe speech settings as well. And Greg, do you may want to talk a little bit about the circumstances on that reset?
Yeah, sure. I think the priority kind of, there's three resets, as Matthew said, and I think the priority kind of goes, if you just have a standard simple lockup or something like that, do the standard reset. It's going to beep, and it takes about 30 seconds for it to reset. I think one thing we want to note about the 456 reset is that is kind of a second level reset. If something still isn't functioning correctly, if you can't figure out what the problem is, it doesn't hurt anything to do that kind of reset, that 456 reset. So before you call tech support or whatever you're doing, you know, if you want to give that a shot, it doesn't hurt anything to try it. And so at that point, you do a DOTS456 reset, and it'll prompt you. It'll say operating language, set your Braille code, things like that. And I'd say probably 60 to 70% of the time, that'll fix whatever strange problems are going on. Basically, it'll clear temporary files that were in use and clear up some memory and things like that as well. So that is kind of the second level reset. And then the last reset I'll let Gabe talk about.
Okay. The last reset is a 5-second reset, and it's slipping my mind what we decided the other term is for it, but you basically press and hold the reset button for 5 seconds. And that is, did we call that a hardware reset, guys? Was that the term for that one?
Yes, that's a hardware level, and that one is analogous to on the PC. If you know, your software is completely frozen, it's not responding to key presses or other things that we've just talked about, or maybe the opposite, the unit appears to be in a state where it won't start at all. Basically, when nothing else is available to you, you can do this, and it has the equivalent of temporarily disconnecting the battery internally, and it forces all of the onboard hardware to cold start. So the process will certainly take longer than just pressing the reset button normally, because all that does is reboots the device. This will make it start from the very lowest level, but it's available when all else fails to you. And you want to save it for last just on the PC. It's as we said, it's the same as on most devices, like a long 5 or 10 second press of the power button to force your computer to shut down when you have nothing else available. So you certainly don't want to do that often, but when you have nothing else available, it's kind of there as a safety net.
And something
net.
I've noticed, just to let people be aware, is on the Apex, I have seen where if you do the 5 second reset, I think occasionally it will come up and give you a prompt that's doing a memory scan. I don't think I've seen that on the others, if either of you have, but the memory scan isn't anything to worry about. Like Matthew said, the unit is doing a cold boot, so it's just doing a scan of the memory, which, since there is so much more memory on the Apex than our earlier devices, might take a minute or two, but that's not anything to be worried about. It's just doing a self-check.
No, good points, and these are just intended to give people hopefully some more information and some tools to work with on their own if something should happen in an evening or on a weekend when tech support isn't available. But that's not to discourage anyone from contacting us, of course. If you're having trouble and the troubleshooting steps in the user guide or the points we've gone over here haven't resolved your issue, then by all means, please contact us so that we can look into if there's something else perhaps happening. But I think Greg mentioned that in many cases, these will resolve your issues just as rebooting your PC will resolve the majority of strangeness that happens on that no one has an explanation for. Shall we move on to the next topic? RFBND. User authorization keys. Had some questions about this, so this is one point where we can probably mention other products as well. But for sticking with BrailleNote Apex for the moment, RFBND Audio Plus protected DAISY content is supported in the book reader in Keysoft 9.0. And the user authorization keys can be installed and will work fine and will allow you to play the content, including the downloadable content now, which is really nice to have available and not have to convert it from CD-ROM. And this, I should also, since we have an international audience, I should make the disclaimer that the RF Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic is RFBND, and it's an organization whose content is, to my knowledge, still only available to members within the United States. But the user authorization keys are available to members from RFBND's website. If you are a member, you sign into your account. You click on your account settings, and there's a link to authorize a DAISY player. And there's a list of products there, and the Braille Note is one of them. And it will ask you for your Braille Note serial number. And the thing to note here, I'll be working with RFBND to have this added to the instructions. But in the meantime, wanted to let people know that if you are attempting to create a user authorization key for a Braille Note Apex, when you're prompted to enter your serial number on the RFBND webpage, you'll need to only enter the last six digits of your Braille Note Apex serial number. I believe the serial numbers are, let's see, I can tell you, they're 12 digits in length, so we only need the last six to create the user authorization key. If you enter the full Braille Note serial number, you'll receive an error and you'll be told that it isn't valid. And we will, as I said, we'll get an explanation on the RFBND page. But in the meantime, if you just enter the last six, you'll have no problem creating it. And then I'll have one of my colleagues to, might as well, as long as we're at it, maybe just describe the process. It's very similar to what you would do on the Victor Reader Stream or other products that support it. Either one of you, do you want to quickly go over that process of how to install one once you download it?
The process is very, very similar to the Victor Stream. It's very similar to other devices as well. You simply would, at that point, you get a file that you would copy onto an SD card, and at that point, upon a reset, it would install the license file to the Apex.
Yeah, that's right. It's a pretty simple process. The one thing that's different with these user authorization keys from the Victor Reader Stream, for example, or no, it's the same. I'm sorry, I'm misspeaking. I'm thinking of NLS. So for RFBND, instead of you'll download a zip file, and it actually contains, I think it's 10 files that you'll need to put on the root of your card for the Victor Reader Stream. And then when you, as Greg said, when you put in the card, it will be installed. For the Braille Note, what happens is the RFBND keys are entered manually. So for Braille Note Apex, when you put in your serial number right on this, the next screen that comes up, you'll have a manual code, 20 digits or so to type in of letters and numbers. And there's instructions there on where to go. It's let me see here on a unit. I can tell you right away. From your main menu, if you go to Utilities, and then to Key Management, and the very first option is Enter a New Product Key. And if you type in the digits that are presented to you and press Enter, your unit will from then on be able to play RFBND content. Anything to add to that, Gabe?
What you saw there was the example of the beauty of us having RFBND on so many different devices. I personally get confused with what the process is for each device, but yeah, at this point it is a manual and typing of the characters.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to
add. And that's really to the user's advantage, since you might not have an SD card available at the time or something. And, you know, on a product like the Victor Stream, where all of your media is on an SD card, it really needs to be that way. But on the Braille Note, it's an advantage. You might not have a thumb drive handy or an SD card, and you can just simply type the key and enable the unit without needing any other parts or pieces around. And Gabe, I think you were going to comment also.
I was just going to say, I don't really have a whole lot to add, but like Greg, it's, you know, we do have it on several different devices, so, you know, I was just going to say that it is something that we have to kind of keep track of how it's entered on different devices, and I like what you said, Matthew, that with the Braille Note, we do have a couple of different options.
All right. Well, I think let's move on to the next point. Or let's not. Let's mention one more thing, just to be complete. For RFBND, we should also mention here, since we've received some phone calls about this, and you are advised of the situation when you go to download a product or a user authorization key from RFBND. But there is a known issue with KeySoft version 8 on the Brownload Empower. And I believe this applies to the PK as well, where the user authorization keys are not working. We hope to have a fix available for that as soon as possible, as I think most people would expect. Our engineers have been pretty consumed with getting BrailleNode Apex ready and launched and released, and now that that's happened, we should have some resources available to go and look at what's happening and hopefully offer a fix. So stay tuned to the BrailleNote Newswire for an announcement about that, or on the RFBND website in your account area. We'll share the information in both places as soon as it's available. The next point we have is the battery on the BrailleNote Apex. Battery life, charging, and low battery indications are some topics that have come up. So there's some differences here. Significant difference is BrailleNote Apex having a user-replaceable battery. As is the case with most devices, there's some compromises that needed to be made. We heard the users loud and clear that they wanted the ability to replace the battery themselves without sending away their unit. They also wanted the next BrailleNote to be as small and as light as possible, so taking all of those requirements into account, we've been able to deliver on all of them. But the cost of that is a small cost, but it is the battery, with its nature being user replaceable and the profile of the device being smaller, the battery also ends up being a little bit smaller than it was on the BrailleNote Empower. So what that will translate to for the user is the battery life won't be quite as long as it was on the other device with a smaller battery. Also, with all of the hardware enhancements on BrailleNote Apex with onboard Wi-Fi and all of the USB ports and Bluetooth and things that could be going on at one time, that also has an effect on the battery, which is why we only talk in general terms when we're asked how many hours should I expect and so on. There honestly isn't a black and white answer to that question. It's so dependent on how the device is used, what's being done, is it used for long sessions, and the other points I mentioned, which hardware features are being used. But on an average, you probably will notice a slightly less battery life. With that said, though, our benchmark that we established for the product is that even with everything that we've just said, you should easily be able to go through a full day's use. Even if you use all of the features of the product for most of the day, it should definitely get you through a full day at school or a full work day. And then just we always recommend in technical support that users just use the device much like you would your cell phone. Use it all day and plug it in every night so that you'll know for sure that you're ready for the whatever the next day may bring. And then maybe I'll ask Gabe or Greg to comment a bit about any other differences that have come up. I believe the charging time is it's probably about the same, maybe slightly longer than it was on the other devices. There's some new protection built in that I think maybe has caused a few people to call about if the battery was near full already and they tried to charge it to top it up and the unit appeared to not be charging. You might want to comment about why that's normal, and then maybe any differences in how the user's notified when the battery is low. So any of those points that I know you both have received phone calls on the tech support line, so anything you'd like to share, by all means.
Sure. One thing is, I think the battery low indicator is a little bit different. There is a kind of a two-tone beep when the battery starts to get to more of a critical point, which I don't think we've had before. So not only will you get a visual or alert on your Braille display or a voice alert when the battery is getting low, but you'll get this beep. And need to plug the Apex in, and something that just occurred recently was that, and something to mention is that the Apex charger is a two-piece charger, and so if you think it's plugged in and it's still beeping like that, that you may want to check the connector at the middle of the charger to make sure that that is seated in there well, because even if you feel it and it looks like it's there, you may just pull it apart and stick it back together just to make sure that there's a solid connection. And then as far as what Matthew was saying about plugging it in to top it off, the Apex has, I believe it is a 90% benchmark, that if it's above 90%, I don't think it will start charging. Is that correct, guys?
Yes, that's just it. With these types of batteries, there's some intelligent power management that's going on, so the unit's able to tell if the unit is within that 10% of being full already. It knows that there's really no benefit in charging and risking overcharging the battery, so it defaults to that behavior. And it's really about extending the battery life as much as possible and keeping it well conditioned. Since there is no more calibration of the battery, we can hear everyone cheering, I think, about that, ourselves included. So there's some more things that we're able to do automatically now, which is why there is no calibration process required on this device like there were on the previous Braille notes.
One thing that I think we can add...
Greg, what would you like to add?
Just in regards to the 90% benchmark, we're not saying that it won't charge up to 100% if it's at 90%. The charging cycle just drastically slows down once it gets to that 90% or the upper echelon of the charging cycle. And the reason being, as Matthew said, it's that intelligent power management that it's doing. It doesn't want to overcharge it, and so the charging cycle will drastically slow down. So it's not anything wrong with your battery. That is completely natural when it does take significantly longer if you begin to charge at 80% or 90%.
No, very good. So just to summarize, if I'm a user of Braille Note Apex, what would be something that should indicate to me that maybe I should contact technical support, that perhaps there is a problem with my battery, since we know if it's only charging to 99% then these situations that we've explained are normal and that there's reasons for them? What would be a reason that my battery might definitely have a problem? What would you suggest would be warning signs where I should call?
The biggest thing that you want to watch is if you're at 95 to 90% or whatever, if you're only getting 3-4 hours of battery life out of your device before it dies completely, that's a sign that there's definitely a problem. Also, if it doesn't work at all when it's on battery, if it only works on AC power, you definitely want to check that out as well. But as Matthew said, we're constantly looking at a full day's work on the device. So if you're only getting three hours or so of battery life, etc., definitely give our tech support a call, and we'll have to investigate further.
Excellent. Let's move on. We have a few more topics to cover, and we don't want this to be too long. We'd rather do these sessions more often instead of try to do them and make them overly lengthy for folks to listen to. Wireless connectivity is the next point we have here, and the reason that I have this on the list is it's completely new to Braille Note Apex, having the built-in Wi-Fi and not needing to have external cards and so on, which is excellent. And since it is completely new, we would probably expect to have some issues come up. And we think we're starting to notice one that we're happy for users to continue to let us know about. We think that we have a solution in the works. But just to let people know, perhaps if they see the symptoms that we'll discuss, they'll know that they don't necessarily need to contact us, because it's something we're already aware of. And as we do have more information, or if we end up having some type of solution, we'll certainly announce it on the Braille Note Newswire. But the symptom that someone might see, and Greg, I know you just were working with the customer the other day on this issue, so just to let folks know, there can be circumstances where you're using the unit And if you're working on the internet using the Wi-Fi, sometimes you might go to check your email, for example, and it'll tell you that it can't find an email server or something to that effect, and you'll know that that's obviously not related to your settings because you were successfully using it earlier in the day, perhaps, and there's an easy solution, or let's call it a workaround for now. So do you want to talk about that situation, just so customers know that they could encounter in it, and it's something that has been reported to us and that we're hoping to address it as quickly as possible? Oh, I hope we didn't lose Greg. Or let's see, Gabe, did you want to comment about that? I know we talked about it the other day in the internal meeting.
I'm sorry, which one was this?
This is the wireless connectivity when the user is using it, and then they'll go off to another task and maybe go back later and check their email, and it'll appear that they don't have a connection anymore. You know what? I might be putting you on the spot because you may not have been in that discussion. I apologize.
I don't recall this. I'm not recalling this discussion. I apologize.
You might not have been there. That's okay. And I think that Greg might have, his connection might have been interrupted. The workaround for now that we've that seems to work in the cases that have been reported to us is if you simply go into your options menu, connectivity, and then your wireless, and if you turn wireless off and then turn it back on, everything will seem to right itself. Or you also can save all of your work and press the reset button, just do a standard soft reset. The unit will reboot. It only takes a matter of seconds, and then it comes back up and everything is restored. Either of those are a workaround for now, but just wanted to let people know that we do recognize that there's likely an issue there that we need to address, and we have the engineers on it, and as soon as we have something else to report, watch the BrailleNote Newswire for that. The next one is Bluetooth services. This is another difference on the Bluetooth implementation. There's a number of differences, but this is one that's come up in a few technical support calls, which is why we wanted to mention it here. The difference, for example, in pairing a GPS receiver, you may use the Sendero GPS with your BrailleNote Apex. And previously, this Bluetooth service you used was ActiveSync to communicate with the GPS receiver wirelessly. And I understand that's changed now, and it uses the Bluetooth serial is how the service is identified now.
I
think you sent this one in, Greg. Did you want to comment?
If Greg's not back, I can't comment on this one.
Oh, go ahead, Greg. We may have lost Greg. So, Gabe, go ahead.
This one is probably one of the most common uses more common uses I think we see with Bluetooth, and it's probably one of the bigger changes that you're going to notice, especially like Matthew said, if you use GPS a lot, is that when you look through your list of Bluetooth services, the service you want to choose is serial, and that does work the same way that the ActiveSync connection worked if you had a previous model of BrailleNote. You choose the serial connection, it'll ask for your authentication code, you put that in and hit enter, and it will connect and then find your Bluetooth receiver, and you're off and running that way. But just something to kind of be aware of is that that has changed, and instead of looking for ActiveSync, you're looking for the serial connection.
Excellent. So hopefully that'll eliminate any confusion from people who have worked with maybe a BrailleNote Empower where it worked differently. A couple of more points to get through here before we wrap things up. KeySoft extensions we want to talk about. This is an area that's changed as well for the better. The KeySoft extensions, basically, there are three of them right now. It's optional software. Extensions of KeySoft for the BrailleNote Apex are There's a Nemeth tutorial that can be installed for the educational environment. There is a concise Oxford Dictionary and Thesaurus that I use each and every day. And there's the Sendero GPS that we talked about a moment ago. So one fundamental difference is that the packages are now pre-installed on the device. They're part of Keysoft itself. They're maintained with Keysoft. So from the user's side, if you purchase the extensions at the same time as your Braille Note, you'll never have to do anything. Your unit will come to you delivered with everything installed and authorized and functioning. And if you choose to add one afterwards, it's much easier for the user. Do you want to talk about that, Gabe, of the process? Because I know you've been involved. You're one of the people behind the scenes that was involved heavily in producing the previous version. We did extensions, so I know that you're happy about the way we do them now.
This one is very exciting, especially, like you said, to me. We used to have to put the file onto a card and ship the card, and you had to go in and install it, and it was both behind the scenes and for the user, I think, a lot of steps involved in the process. And with the Braille Note Apex, what it is like Matthew said, if you buy it by the extensions at the same time, it comes installed. But even if you don't purchase the extensions at the time of purchase of your Apex, all of the files come already on your Braille Note. So if you 3 months or 6 months or a year later decide you want to buy the Oxford Dictionary, you don't have to get a card. What we do is we email you with the license key, and it's a file that is attached and it has instructions. But if you have questions, we can always help you out in tech support. But all you do is save that file to a storage card, and when you put that storage card into the Apex, you'll be prompted to reset to install licenses. And once you install and say yes, you want to install that license, then it's set up and you're ready to use it. For example, with the Oxford Dictionary, you install the dictionary and you put the license on your card, hit reset, say yes, you want to install it. When you get back to the main menu, you're ready to start using your dictionary, and you don't have to have a separate compact flash card that you have to worry about keeping track of and putting in the Apex. The data files are already installed on the Apex, which is, I think, probably one of the more exciting things, because you don't have to worry if about pins getting bent in a card slot, not being able to use it, or misplacing your card. Those files are right there for you to use. I think it just makes the whole process much smoother, much easier for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. One of the benefits of having so much more onboard storage on the device with the 8 gigabytes is the ability to have all of that information self-contained.
Yeah, and another thing is, I think it gives us the ability for faster delivery. You don't have to worry about waiting for the dictionary package to be shipped to you anymore. It's done by email, so you have it very soon after the order is placed.
Absolutely. We have one more technical point to cover, and then just a couple of things to wrap up. So the last technical point is, it involves Gmail. We're all fans of the Gmail service, as there are a number of our users. Gmail's available. It's a free service. It works wonderfully. It's pretty flexible in how it works. Seems to be rather ubiquitous these days. But one thing about Gmail, as with many of Google's products, is part of being on that cutting edge is sometimes the rules get changed on you and things are fairly dynamic. And Gmail is no exception to that. For example, with the Braille Notes having a POP email client on board, and Gmail does support POP access to your mail, it's kind of a nice combination that our users have found. One consideration, however, is that Gmail uses a custom or their own implementation of the POP protocol, so it behaves a little differently than it might if you had used your email account that was provided along with your internet access from your ISP, your internet service provider. And one of the areas that seems to impact some of our customers where they've come to us for help is people that want to be able to check their email on their Braille note when they're out on the go, but they only want to just view the messages and leave them on the server because they want to download them permanently, maybe on their PC at home or on another primary device. And with the standard POP3 implementation, the Braille note, it's simply a setting there where you say it's a yes or a no question in your email settings. Do you want to leave your messages on the server? And a number of users have used that in the past and are quite used to. They understand how it works, and it was working well for them. And with Gmail, they found it was working differently. So we've looked into this when we received the reports, and we found this is one of the areas where Google's implementation of POP3 is a little different. And it's not a big deal, it's just a matter of knowing what to do. So you can still have that classic behavior that you want, but you'll need to consult Google's the help, online help for Gmail. And the reason that we're saying that is we're still happy to help you with it since we know the answer now, but we have no guarantee that that might not change in the future, weeks or months into the future, we don't know. But just to be aware, if you find things that are working unusually or that were working fine with another outside service, especially one run by Google that tends to innovate frequently and make a lot of changes, we'd really recommend that you check their online help system first. That's what we did to find the solution, and the users are able to do that same thing independently. Like we mentioned earlier, especially these things tend to come up during evenings or during weekends when technical support may not be available. So we do have a solution. We're happy to share it with you, the one that we know about for now. It involves changing your username, as I recall. You prepend, I think it's recent, the word recent colon or something to that effect, to the beginning. So give us a call, and we can help you with that if you need it. And I'll have one of my colleagues mention in a second. If you know off the top of your head what it is, I don't mind us mentioning it here either. But I just wanted to share that with people, to know that with these third-party services, to be aware that it's sometimes these things change beyond our control, and you may find the answer just as quickly, or more quickly than we do, by checking the online help files. There's a wealth of knowledge there, and Google seems to do a great job of keeping that up to date, so cheers to them for that. So, Gabe or Greg, did you want to comment about the specifics? You might remember a little better than myself about exactly what that setting is.
Well, what's nice about Google is that they've really done a great job, as Matthew said, about constantly keeping it updated, but it's also extremely accessible. Your screen reader commands, the heading navigation, and things like that that you utilize on a daily basis in your web browsing, and their online help, they do a great job of kind of prepending all of their content with a heading level to make navigation for a blind user extremely easy. What you typically do is there's not a whole lot of changing on the Braille note end, except for one setting, and that is your username field needs to get changed. Typically, it's your entire Gmail password, or I'm sorry, your entire Gmail email address, so xyz@gmail.com. You simply prepend that with a recent colon, then xyz@gmail.com. Basically, what that does is it makes it so that all of the messages get sent to your device instead of pulling them off of the server, so that you can't get them on any other devices.
Excellent. Thanks for that. Then what I'm going to put up here for the users is our next to the last topic is online support resources, which you should, for those of you viewing the full archive, you should be able to see that now. I've taken you to an area on the HumanWare website, and if you're interested, our webmaster has been kind enough to create a shortcut to get here, so you can go to the homepage and click on support, and then on your products as always, or you can go straight to humanware.com/BrailleNote_support is a shortcut to get straight to this area. So I wanted to mention a bit of the online resources that we have available, since we're talking mostly about Apex today. Here in the support section, you'll see that we have we've got a section to the manuals. So there's the Keysoft 9.0 and Braille Note Apex manuals are here in PDF format, a number of other formats as well, including I'm not sure if we have it uploaded yet. If not, at the time of this recording, it probably will be by the time this is available. The HTML, a downloadable HTML version. It's very similar to the Windows help file format, so it's indexed and searchable on the PC. Maybe if it's a teacher working with a student or providing someone else assistance and wanting to research something in the user guide. And it's exactly the same as what's in the onboard user's guide. We also have the software section here where you can download, we mentioned at the beginning, the current update and future updates for the Braille Note are available there to download the upgrade file, including full documentation. The release notes are there with some details, and the installation instructions are there for the different methods that are available that Gabe talked about earlier. And then the FAQ section, I'll take you there. Those of you listening to this presentation, you've played just as big of a part in this document as those of us on the HumanWare team, and we would very much like for you to continue to do so. As we receive questions, if you call tech support and talk to Greg or Gabe or one of their colleagues, or if you email us, we'll go over those contact points in just a second as our last item. All of that data is collected and recorded, and that's really how we maintain the FAQ content for technical support. So the content that's here has come through questions we've received, and it'll be a living document, so that's why it's here in HTML format. You'll know that it's always up-to-date information that you're reading. So please continue to share your questions with us so that we can continue to make that information available here in a self-service format as well as by talking with one of us on the team. And then the last online resource I'd like to mention, again, is the Braille Note Newswire. I've mentioned it several times in the presentation. That's really the best way for you to be automatically advised of any news related to the Braille Note family of products. If there's an online presentation being made available, such as this one that you're listening to now, if there's maybe a live interactive webinar, we do those from time to time. If there's a significant item that's been added to the FAQ or some late breaking news, software updates, all of the above information is on the Braille Note Newswire. So you can subscribe on the HumanWare website. If you go to the homepage and then products and Braille Note, there's a link right there to subscribe. Or you can just put Braille Note Newswire in the search box on our website as another shortcut. So please sign up if you haven't already done so. That's the way you'll always be among the first to find out anything that there is to know. And then anything else I'm forgetting, guys, before I wrap up with the contact info?
No, I think just the contact info. I can't think of anything else.
Very good. So, as always, please don't hesitate to contact our customer support teams. If we can be of assistance in any way, we're happy to do so. There's two simple ways to do that. You can either contact us by phone, toll-free within the U.S. and Canada. You can call 800-722-3393, and you can reach anyone on our customer support teams, either customer service or technical support are both available at that same number. And then via email, you can email support@humanware.com, and that address is monitored by a number of people on the team, and your request will be routed in the appropriate direction, depending on the nature of the request. Those are the two ways to contact and communicate with us directly. I know that we, from time to time, we'll hear, we'll receive a question, or we'll hear concern about HumanWare monitoring all of the email discussion lists that are out there for the various products and so on. And there is still one email discussion list that HumanWare offers and maintains ourselves, which is the BrailleNote discussion list. But as we've stated in the past and on the list, that's really a resource that we provide for users to communicate with one another, to offer some peer support, to share their experiences and so on. And it's really not a direct communications channel to HumanWare. As you've probably got a sampling of today, everyone on the team, including tech support, have a number of responsibilities and areas to focus on, and projects and testing, and monitoring and reading all of the various posts to email lists and watching for maybe the random question addressed directly to HumanWare in the midst of all that really isn't an efficient process. So that's why we provide the direct contact information. We're very happy to receive your questions and even your product suggestions, the same thing. If you'd like to email those to support@humanware.com, those are all recorded. Those are all shared with project leaders and product managers. So thank you very much for continuing to provide us with your feedback, your comments, your suggestions, and don't hesitate to reach out if there's anything we can do for you. And I guess that's the last point, is if there's anything you'd like to see us do in the future, when we can do another one of these chats, or if you'd like us to we could talk with someone else in the company, introduce you to the product manager, or if there's more specific content you'd like covered from the technical team, by all means let us know. Send us an email to support@humanware.com, and we're more than happy to provide this type of content in the future. So I'd like to thank my colleagues very much, Gabe Griffith in the nice warm West Coast. Thank you very much for joining us today, Gabe.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure, and I think it's actually a little bit foggy and getting ready to rain here on the West Coast, so not so warm.
Okay, well, stay dry, and Greg Stilson, not too far away from me here in the Midwest. Thanks, Greg, as always, for joining us, and hopefully we'll have you on again in the future.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm from Wisconsin, here in the polar opposite from Gabe, pretty much, and so we'll see if my my computer stops freezing because of the weather.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, very much, and thanks to all of you for listening today. And until next time, thank you very much for all of your support and for your continued feedback, and we'll see you again soon.